Well, for the sake of our visitors, this is a Bible study night, so you're going to need a Bible if you don't have one, or I guess you could look off with somebody there, but we're going to look at a lot of Scripture tonight. We're studying a particular thing, and let's see. I want to start out again. Just our text to begin with is 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. So if you'll turn there. First John chapter 4, verse 6. And we're going to look at a lot of scripture verse tonight. And I think this is still going to be more or less an introduction. I know some of you were very eager for us to get into the actual four errors that I mentioned, and I do want to do that. But tonight, I just feel it would be good for us to look at some particular things about this subject right here, error. All right? Somebody read that verse, whoever's got it. Just go ahead and read it out loud. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. Okay, do you see that? Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we went over that last Wednesday night, I think, or the Wednesday before that. I don't remember when the last time we were on this subject, but there's the spirit of truth. And of course, the spirit of truth would be the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks truth to us through His Word. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So the spirit of truth is connected to this book. And obviously the spirit of error, if it's a real spirit, and I assume it is, there is a spirit of error in this world, and it would be those lying spirits, it would be the devil himself, it would be all that falsehood that this world is full of. It's all around us. It's everywhere. It's everywhere you look, the world is full of falsehood. And but for a Christian possessing a Bible, you and I are to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We're supposed to be able to tell the difference because we have a Bible. So we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. We're going to look at why and how people err. To err, E-R-R, to err. To err means, a dictionary definition, and I gave this to you before, but it means to deviate from a true course. To err means to wander from the right path. To err means to turn from God's intended purpose. It means to go astray from the truth. Now that's basically out of the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. To go, to deviate, to wander, to turn, to go astray. But to turn from that which is true to that which is false, is to err. So an error is not just a mistake. An error, the way the Bible uses the term, is a pretty serious thing. It's not like an oopsie, you know. It's God has a plan, God has a path, God has a purpose. To get off that, for any reason, to go our own way, and I'm going to go tonight, I've got just what I thought we'd do tonight is look at the four reasons that people err. And then we're going to look at the four great errors that there are in the world. Paul uses the word error, to err or error, four times. And I've learned and tried to, you know, pass this along that sometimes the number of times that a thing is mentioned in the Bible is significant. It's not an accident that the word shows up four times in Paul's letters. And when you go and look at each one of those four times that Paul uses the word, the word represents a different kind of an error. One time, it has to do with scriptural or doctrinal error. And we're going to look at that. I would say those are errors of sound doctrine. Another time Paul uses it, it has to do with sex. So what in the world does error have to do with sex? Well, an error would be where society has gotten off of God's real, true path, wandered away from the truth, deviated from God's intended purpose. And you know what? This is a sex-saturated society we live in. And for the most part, the world has got a totally perverted, twisted view of sex. So society, the world, has erred in that area tremendously. So what's that got to do with us? Because usually the errors of the world creep their way into the church. Because we don't live in this building. We walk in this world. We function in this world. We work out there in this world. And we come together a couple of times a week to try to, you know, flush our brains out and get some of the Word of God in it. But you're out there more than you're in here. And the stuff out there affects you whether you know it or not. The way of thinking, the ideas, the attitudes that the world has, it comes to us through television, radio, our music, the magazines, the New York Times, and everything else. It's just coming at us all the time. And you say, well, I don't pay any attention to that. Yes, you do. Amen. Yes, you do. You have no way of not paying attention to it unless you're going to go live in your closet, shut the light out, put cotton in your ears. It affects us. But we have to know, all right, there is a right path, and anything that's not on that right path is error. And God will judge error. You and I are supposed to know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there are four big, big errors that are mentioned in the Bible that by the Apostle Paul. Doctrinal error, or scriptural error, I called it, just so everything starts with an S. I don't mean to be fancy or anything, but just so I can remember it. Scriptural error, sexual error. The other one, Paul mentions it two times in 1 Timothy chapter 6, uses the word error. One in reference to success and covetousness. And this world has a very twisted idea of what success is. And you don't think you and I as Christians are affected by that? You are. You are. You can develop the wrong idea. You can go through life with the world's idea and the world's pressure on you to be a success the way the world says we should be a success. And we could disregard God's model of success, right? And that's an error. And the other one seems to be in the area of science. And certainly the world has gone astray on over all this pseudoscience, evolution, and everything else. There's a lot of science, so-called scientific stuff that has caused this world to turn away from the truth and to err from the truth. So those are the four big ones that we're going to look at. But before we start going down through those, I wanted to just deal with you a little bit tonight, talk a little bit tonight about how or why we err. How is it that, how did the world go astray? And here are four ways or four reasons that men err. First of all, we err because of infirmity. To go astray, to wander off the right path, because of infirmity. What do I mean by that? Let's go to Psalm 58 and verse number 3. We wander, we deviate from God's intended path for our life because of the infirmity of our flesh. Now, there are some that say that after you're saved, you have no sinful nature anymore. But let me tell you, you have something tugging at you, and it is not tugging at you in the right direction. There is something pulling you off course all the time. You are prone to wander. You go astray because of the infirmity of your flesh. Right? Now look at this, Psalm 58. That's the first problem. So even if I got every other area right in my life, guess what? You can't fix your flesh. You know that, right? Amen. You're not going to fix it. Because to the day you die, you have a part of you that loves to sin. You're not going to fix that. You're not going to change that. Even the Apostle Paul himself in Romans chapter 7 described his own daily struggles against the sinful tendencies in his own life. Now you think, well, Apostle Paul, man, a guy like that probably didn't have any trouble with sin. Okay, well, just read your Bible. He struggled with it every day. And the flesh has to be put to death every day. You've got to subdue it. You've got to put it in subjection to your spirit, to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, because your flesh is always tugging you off course. You will err because of your own infirmity. Look at Psalm 58. I sent you there and I didn't get there myself, so. Dun, 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 dun. All right, here we go. Psalm 58, verse number 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Whoa. When did you start to err? About 1 second after you were born. Say, well, I really started to go astray when I was in my teenage years. No, you started to go astray day one. Amen. It can't be possible. Okay, you discuss it with God when you get to heaven. He wrote that. I didn't write that. When do they go astray? From the womb, right out of the womb. There's that darling little thing you think, innocent little baby. There's no innocence there. I mean, yes, there's not yet a knowledge, an experience with sin, but there's already a nature that is inclined towards sin. No baby has to be taught how to lie. No baby has to be taught how to be selfish. No baby has to be taught to slap its brother, sister, or playmate when it doesn't get its way. You know, if you've ever worked or been around a nursery, I mean, you try to take a toy away from a baby sometimes, and, you know, there's just where does that nature come from? I mean, it's there. So we go astray, we err, because of our own infirmity. Now, you and I deal with that every day. And if you don't think you do, then you're only fooling yourself. That means that each day, if I'm aware that my flesh is going to have a tendency to pull me off course, then that means if I'm wise, every day I'm going to be rechecking my course. Right? If I know in advance my flesh is always going to have a tendency to pull me off course, then I have a book, I have the Holy Spirit of God, and if I'm wise, I'll just constantly be rechecking my position, right? And make sure that I'm walking in the way the Lord wants me to walk. It's like, I don't know much about sailing. Some of you guys do, but I was going to take some sailing lessons last summer. I would love to be able to do that. But I saw the video on it, how you're supposed to sail. And you don't just set a course and then forget it and then go have lunch. It's like, man, when that boat's underway, you're just constantly, you're working with the wind, and the wind, you got to just, it's just constant, like little adjustments, right? And you've got to move it this way and that way, and it's just, I forget what those terms are called, but tacking or something like that, Steve, is that what it's called? Tacking and jibbing and jiving and something like that. But, I mean, you don't just like punch it in and there it goes. So there's just constant checking of your position, constant adjustment, constant correction. Now, think about that word correction in the Bible. We think of correction as a spanking. What about thinking of correction as simply a change in our course? When God corrects me, that's all He's trying to do. Get me back on course. And you know how often I need correction? Probably about every day. Probably about every day I need to look in the Scriptures and just check and make sure, Lord, am I still on course? Am I still going the way I should be going? Is this what You want me to do? Should I be doing this? Because we're prone, because of our own infirmity, we are prone to go astray. We are prone to err. We are prone to get off course. And so we need daily that correction that comes from the Word of God. All right, the second reason that we err ignorance. This is a big one. This is a big one. Anybody lost in the woods is lost because of ignorance. Right? Because if you had a map, if you had a compass, if you had a GPS locating thing, I mean, if you had more information, if you had more facts, guess what? You wouldn't be lost. Right? But we go astray, we get off track, we get out of the will of God, we tend to err, wander away from the truth, turn away from God's real purpose for our life. Some people never even find out God's real purpose for their life. They stay stunned all their life. They never find out. They never try to find out. You know, that's a shame, because it was in the book all along. That's really sad if somebody never finds out what God intended them to do. So they err their entire life. Their entire life is an error. Imagine that. Imagine having your record at just all errors. No hits, no runs, just errors. But if you don't know out of ignorance, some do not know, and so they err continually. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. So an ignorance of the Word of God and an ignorance of the power of God. So what's the power of God? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This book is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And an ignorance of the power of God and the Scriptures, the writings that you hold in your hands here, will cause you to go astray. If you don't know, if you don't have a roadmap, and you don't, or if you have a roadmap, like some guys, the roadmap's in the glove compartment, but they're just sure they know where they're going. Well, what happened to us on the way to camp last week? Were you in my van? Don't say a word. I was sure I knew the way. And I copied the instructions off whatever that MapQuest thing. I don't recommend MapQuest to anybody because I was sure. I think it's been wrong before. I don't know if anybody's ever found it wrong, but I copied it down. I had it right there. It said turn at Route 41, and we're barreling along Route 30, and we came to Route 741. And 41 or 741? Well, no, 741 isn't Route 41, so we're going to keep going to 41. And we kept going, and we kept going, and we kept going, and we never found a Route 41. But it was like 45 minutes later, we decided to just check. So we went into a rest stop and looked on the map, and there is no Route 41. It was Route 741, which is about 20 miles back. So I had to turn around, wasted all that time. It took us an extra hour to get there. But if I would have stopped, pulled over, checked the map, you know, guess what? I wouldn't have erred. But I erred because of ignorance. Right? Not knowing the Scriptures. Can a Christian err? That means go astray, wander away from the truth, turn away from God's intended purpose, wander from the right path, deviate from a true course out of ignorance. Obviously they can. We do it all the time. But we don't have to. Here's a book. We don't have to. In the right path are all of God's blessings. And we're in His will, and we're on that real, true, intended path for our life. That's where God pours out all of His blessings in our life. That's where the good things from God come to us. If you're here, where God wants you to be, I mean, in that place, in the center of God's will, that's where God will bless you. And God doesn't want you. If you're supposed to be here, He doesn't want you over there. But if I don't know where I'm supposed to be, and I'm just hoping everything's going to work out okay, then it's my own ignorance. My own ignorance is the reason that God's blessings don't come. Because God could say, well, look, I know you just don't have time to read the Bible, so I'm going to go ahead and bless you anyway. No, you have it right here. He gave you a, you know, fourth grade education. You should be able to read this and find out what God wants you to do with your life. But you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Go to Hosea. That's in the Old Testament. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, right back in there after Daniel. Find Jeremiah, then Ezekiel, then Daniel, and then Hosea comes right next. Hosea, chapter 4, look at verse number 6. Hosea, chapter 4, verse number 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ooh. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So God says, well, why don't, you know, you say, well, why doesn't God just bless them anyway? Why doesn't God just, you know, He knows we're stupid. He knows we're slow. He knows, you know, we're ignorant. Why doesn't God just bless us anyway? Because He gave us a book and He gave us His Holy Spirit. And He told us in His Word, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Read and read and read and read. That you can do that. Say, well, I'm not very smart, but you can read. You read the newspaper. You can read the comics, right? You can read the funny papers. You can read a magazine. You can read the daily news. You can read whatever it is you read. You could read this, and probably the time you spent reading other things, if you'd invest that time in reading this, your ignorance would, most of it would vanish away. But watch what God says. We're going to go on and read the rest of this portion. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. He's speaking to Israel as a whole, because the nation of Israel will be his priest during the millennial reign in the future. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be, like people, like priest. You know what that's saying? It's like, sometimes God's people get the leaders they deserve. Now think about that. You know, as a nation, we may get the leaders we deserve. God forbid Hillary Clinton gets in the White House. And I don't want to be political, because it's got nothing to do with what God may be doing. But sometimes a nation gets the leaders it deserves. And, you know, in Christianity right now, although God puts a lot of responsibility on the pastors that have led congregations astray, they've turned away from the Scriptures, they've denied the Word of God, there are 115 or 150 different Bibles out there, all contradicting the Word of God, all contradicting the King James Bible. So those pastors are going to have a lot to answer for one day. But you know what? They couldn't get away with it if the people didn't allow it. So sometimes people get what they really wanted. And it says, it's what it says here, and verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priest. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings, for they shall eat and not have enough, never satisfied. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, that's their idols. A stock was a stump of a tree that was carved into some kind of an idol. My people ask counsel at their stocks and their staff. Well, that could be your stock portfolio too. No. That could be, you know, looking for some guidance, trying to tell the future, trying to, you know, figure out which way your life should go based on your portfolio. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms have caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. Right? But it starts up in verse number 6. It's because of ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. I mean, many, many times, God's people are just ignorant. Sometimes we're ignorant of our own sin. You know that? You know that? You don't have a perfect understanding of all the sin in your life. Neither do I. You don't really know. You know, you might, maybe you're sensitive and maybe you're aware to the big things in your life. But the only way you and I really have a good understanding of what sin is and what we're really guilty of is because of the Scriptures. So I may look in the mirror and I may analyze my life and I may come away feeling pretty good about myself. And then about, you know, 30 minutes spent in the Word of God, and I find out, oh man, I'm convicted by that verse. That hits me. This speaks to me. You know, and the Spirit of God just begins to show you things in that innermost part of your heart that you weren't aware of, that you were ignorant of. And sometimes our ignorance of sin in our own life can make us to go astray. And we have to be careful of that. Let me show you a couple of verses real quick about that. Leviticus chapter 5. God knew that this would always be a problem, so He even allowed, He made an allowance for it in the law. When it came to bringing sacrifices to God for sin in your life, there were even sacrifices for sins of ignorance. In Leviticus chapter 5, look at verse number 17. Now you say, well, the Lord shouldn't punish me. I shouldn't be affected by sins I was ignorant of. I didn't know it was wrong to do blank. So therefore, I should be able to get away with it. You know, some people think the only sin you have to repent of is the sin that God convicts you of. That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I've heard more than one person say to me, well, I'm just not convicted about that. Well, so that makes it right? Just because you're not convicted about something doesn't mean that it's... So you're, whether or not you feel conviction determines whether or not the thing is right or wrong? Some things that you may not be convicted about could be dead wrong, could be God could be judging you for it, and you don't even feel any conviction over it at all. Your feelings about the thing are not what determine whether something is right or wrong. What God says about the thing determines whether it's right or wrong, not how you feel about what God says. I've had more than one person say to me, well, I'm just not convicted about that. What does that mean? I mean, the issue is, what does the Bible say? What does God say? Not how do you feel about what God says about it. The issue is, what's right, what's wrong? What is truth, what is error? What should I be doing and what should I not be doing? Period. But sometimes we think, well, just because I'm not aware of it, I didn't know it was wrong, that it won't affect me. But look at this in verse number 17, Leviticus number 5, verse 17. If a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, knew it not, wist means to know, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. You see that? Say, well, I didn't know. Sorry about that. It was in the book. So a man says, well, I'm guilty, but I didn't know I was guilty. I didn't know it was sin. The Bible says he is guilty and he will bear his iniquity. Watch this. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred. What caused him to err? His ignorance. His error is still an error. And he's guilty and he bears his iniquity, but God doesn't destroy him. God says, you can be forgiven. Bring the sacrifice. I'll forgive you. Even though it was done in ignorance, I'll forgive you and restore you. And so he could bring an offering for his ignorance wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. Thank the Lord. He forgives us. Psalm 19, I don't remember what verse it is, but somewhere in Psalm 19, because the kids learned it, and I tried to learn it that week too in camp, but it says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Those things that I wasn't even aware of. The errors, the ways in which I went astray from God's Word, and I didn't even know it was wrong, but it's still wrong in the eyes of God. So who's at fault? Me or God? Me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. So not only do I have my own infirmity, my flesh tugging me away, my own ignorance can get me in trouble. That's why it's important, in this church especially, learn this book. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. This is our security. This is our safety. This is our relationship with God in this book. We can't be ignorant of this book. Some people just carry it back and forth like an ornament, but it ought to be in your heart, more and more of it every day as you're saved. Go to Numbers chapter 15 real quick. Numbers 15. Numbers 15. Verse 22. Numbers 15, 22. Numbers 15, 22. And if ye have erred and not observed all these commandments which the Lord hath spoken unto Moses, even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that the Lord commanded Moses and henceforward among your generations, then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering, according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. And they shall bring their offering and a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance, and it shall be forgiven. Well, I'm glad the Lord forgives our ignorance. But when you find that you've been ignorant about something, and you look in the Scriptures, or you're told from the Word of God, or you're told, you know, through some message that you hear, or through your devotions, or you're reading, and you see something, and you find something that you were guilty of, and you didn't know you were guilty of it, then, boy, that's the right time to get to God and get it taken care of. And the Lord will forgive that ignorance. But if you don't get the ignorance taken care of, you continue to err and go astray. And it says in verse 27, "And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering." Aren't you glad we don't have to do all that stuff anymore?
Amen, amen.
Man, this is a lot of work. This was a lot of work. I'm glad I just go to Jesus.
Amen.
He's my offering, my sacrifice, the Lamb of God. I don't have to get a she-goat, a he-goat, a dove, a whatever. We just go to Him. He was our sacrifice.
Amen.
But we come to Him even when we find out we've been ignorant about something. Verse 28, "And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him." But we err because of ignorance. And we err because of infirmity. Here's another reason that we err. We err... Where's my marker? We err because of bad instruction. Some people are taught to err. Some people have been taught to err by their friends. Some of us have been taught to err by the television set. Some of us have been taught to err by the music that we've listened to for 30 years. Some of us have been taught to think wrong, act wrong, believe wrong. We've been taught it. And we've got to unteach ourselves sometimes those things. You have to unteach yourself some things. I know I gave you this verse before, but it's so appropriate on this point. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, and there is some instruction that causes men to err, to get out of God's will, to go astray, you lose God's blessings, you bring the judgment of God down on your own life. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 27 says, "Seek, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err." What a great verse. You can be instructed to err. You can be taught to go astray. You say, well, not me. We've got a lot of influences. All of us have got a lot of influences in our lives, and not all of it is good. Counsel from the wrong kind of friend. Too much of Oprah and not enough of Hosea. Too much of Dr. Phil. Woman on television and her counsel and her advice and her opinion than you would Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Paul. And you know it's true. You know what God says to you? Cease from the instruction that causes you to err. Because you'll make decisions about your kids. Some of the ladies in our church have made decisions about their marriage based on some nutty philosophy they got from TV and not on the Word of God. We've got some guys in our church that think because you've been instructed and taught and you've been listening to the wrong kind of instruction that your wife is supposed to be some sort of sexual acrobat or something, and she's some sort of a performance artist for you and your own private, personal little prostitute. More than one guy in this church wants his wife to be instructed in certain things so that she can become his fantasy. She can fulfill his fantasies. Now, we're going to get to that when we talk about that error of sexuality, because more than one Christian has got a totally twisted worldly view. They've been instructed by the world and not instructed by the Spirit of God. And it's wrecking more than one marriage in our church. more than one. He'd come and sit up in the office with me a couple of times. And you'd see some of the twisted ideas that people that are saved and on their way to heaven have, because I don't know where they're getting it. They're not getting it out of the Bible. We go astray sometimes because we've been instructed wrong. We've been taught wrong. Maybe it's your grandma that taught you wrong. You know what? I don't care if it's your mother. If her counsel disagrees with the Word of God, you got to flush it down the toilet. That doesn't mean you got to be mad at her and dishonor her, but you got to turn your ear away from the instruction that causes you to err. It could be your best friend. It could be your fiancé, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, or your husband. I don't believe that a woman in here has to be subject to a husband who would lead her into sin. So I believe a woman should be subject to her husband. But if a woman's husband wants her to sin, she has a greater responsibility to her Savior than she does to her husband. Now, you say, that's heresy. No, that's not heresy. Because I'm dealing with some situations. And a woman has a greater responsibility to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. No husband in here has a right to ask his wife to sin against her Savior in any area. She's to follow you as you follow Christ, men. But some of us have been taught wrong. Some of us have had, in our youth, we've got our heads so full of garbage, we can't tell the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's where the Word of God comes in. It sorts all that stuff out for us. We grow up thinking a man is supposed to be a certain way. He's supposed to act a certain way, talk a certain way. But most of the time, the idea that we have of manhood doesn't even match my Savior, Jesus Christ. You know? My Savior doesn't look like a Marlboro man or anything like that in the Bible, you know? I mean, the kind of a guy that they beat him on one cheek and he just turned the other cheek. Real man, huh? Some kind of a man he was. Yeah, he was a real man. We've seen too many movies. We've watched too many people die in our living room. Some of you kids have killed too many people on your video games. We got a whole twisted idea of what life is supposed to be. And the more we look at it, the more we listen to it, and the more we just let it in, you know what? We err. And the Bible tells me to cease from that instruction that causes me to err. And I think what we need to do as a church is that some of us got to turn some things off in our life. You got to turn some things off. And thank God the kids got it at camp. Little kid knew, I got to go home and I got to get rid of my CDs.
Amen.
You know what? I commend that kid. I had to do the same thing more than once in my life. When I got saved, I had a tremendous collection of jazz albums, CDs. There were even some 8-track tapes when I got saved. Remember, nobody knows what those are. But Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea, and I mean, I lived for that stuff. And I carried that with me into my Christian life for a long time. And I thought, well, you know, you could do both. A little bit of this, a little bit of that's not going to hurt you. But you know what? I found out a little bit of the wrong stuff always takes you a couple of steps backwards. Say, well, it's not going to kill you. It's not going to, you know, you're not going to get the judgment of God. But you know what? You just took a couple of steps backwards. And now to get back where you were, you got to stoke that fire again, and you got to work that much harder to get right with God. But it would be so much better just to get the junk out of our life that causes us to turn away. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. I mean, I know you guys know this one by heart. You probably don't even have to turn there, right? Blessed is the man that what? Walketh. All right? Oh, okay. Can you say it? Or just go ahead and read it. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the what? The counsel. That's the instruction of the ungodly. You know where you're going to get that from? Turn on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNBC, CNN, and all the rest of it. Do you think you're getting godly advice from there? You think anybody's instructing you in what is right, what is wrong, what is pleasing to the Lord? They roll their nose, they roll their eyes, you know, they make fun of anything that might be godly, that might be Christian, that might be right. And they they uphold, they honor, they promote everything that this Bible condemns. And then we're looked at like we're weird because we don't accept it. So what do? Turn it off. Turn it off. Instead of torturing yourself, some of you, I know you listen to it and you almost bust a blood vessel because you get so mad at what they're saying. Well, then why listen to it? You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to give yourself a coronary. Just turn it off. So I like to stay up on what's going on. Well, I understand that. I like to know what's going on too. But I guarantee you, you'll know more about what's going on if you were in here. Because the news is only fulfilling what God said in here. It's all going to come to pass exactly the way it's said in here. What is it? Give me a Bible and a what? That's right. There's some truth in that. Give me a Bible and a candle, put me in a dungeon, and I'll tell you just what's going on in the world. Because what's happening out there is only fulfilling what God said in His Word. So we get ourselves all agitated. We get ourselves all stirred up. I've wanted to put my foot. I don't even get TV reception. I have a TV in my house, but we haven't had reception since, by design. We unplugged everything in 2001 or something like that. But the times that I've been anywhere seeing TV at some of your houses, you know, there's sometimes I want to put my foot right through the TV. Because somebody will say something so stupid. They'll say something so contrary to the Word of God, and they'll just say it with a straight face, and they'll say it with a smile. And you know what? It's aggravating to me. You know what? It's just a waste of our energy. We need to shut some of that stuff off. Because I'll tell you what, you say, well, none of it gets into my head. Some of it does. Oprah, soap operas, that gets in. I hope we don't have ladies spending their afternoon watching soap operas. That's your business. That's between you and God. But I'll tell you what, that's a total waste of your time. Say, well, you're just a guy. You don't like that kind of stuff. No. People sleeping with each other. The whole thing is about sex. Who's lying about who? It's a bunch of melodramatic nonsense. And it's a waste of your day. That 30 minutes or whatever, if you would have spent that time in prayer for your church or for your children, do you think God would have done some good in your home? He certainly would have. Cease from that instruction that causes you to err. Some of the men are just as bad. Some of the men are just as bad. The stuff that we fill our brains with, the stuff that we put in front of our eyes, the stuff that we're looking at, do you know what? It affects your heart. The eye affects the heart, the Bible says. What you look at, what you allow in through this eye gate affects how you think and how you feel. And bad instruction can cause you to err. And if you err, you can lose God's blessings. You can bring the judgment of God down on you and your children, your family, and even our church. Last thing. We can go astray. We can err by intention, deliberately. Plan it. Just determine in our heart, I don't care what that book says, I'm not going that way. Well, some Christians are that way. You could show them the truth and they won't do it. They intend to go astray. They intend to err. And they don't care about the consequences. You mean saved people would do that? Really? Yeah, they do. I've shown more than one person the truth and had them disregard it. Tell me thank you. That was nice. And they just do what they wanted to do anyway. And they're going to do... I don't know why some people even bother to ask for counsel. No, really. I mean, I'm happy to do it. Anytime somebody wants to talk, I'll come to you. You can come to me. I'll go where you are. It doesn't matter. But I don't know why some people ask. I think some people ask only because they're hoping you'll agree with them. But they've already made up their mind that if you don't agree with them, they're going to do what they wanted to do anyway. But if you agree with them, it just makes it easier for them to do it. There are people like that. I don't know why. Sometimes in a meeting, I know before the meeting even starts, what I say is just going to be irrelevant. They've already made up their mind before. Why have me open the Bible and show you anything? Because you've already made up your mind. You intend to go astray. Look in Psalm 119. Just show you a few verses and then we're done on this one. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 118. Psalm 119, verse 118. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statute, for their deceit is falsehood. They erred deliberately. There was deceit in their error. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't ignorance. It wasn't just infirmity, the infirmity of their flesh. It was deliberate. It was deceitful error. They intended. They planned it. They decided they were going to go astray. And of course, God comes down hard on that. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. He, you know when you're in the right way? If you're going to keep the instruction that God gives you in this word, in His book. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Now that's a deliberate error. That's not ignorance. A reproof from the Word of God, correction from the Word of God, some counsel, some loving counsel from a friend. Maybe some of you guys, somebody may have pointed out something in your life that wasn't right, something you needed to take care of. I mean, I know sometimes we're not always doing it in the right spirit. We should, always in love. But you know what, I'm glad for the times when a brother or sister has said something to me, and if there's something wrong in my life, I'm glad somebody bothered to say something to me. Because if it's wrong, then I want to get it right. And I don't care if you don't have to think, well, that person is just, he doesn't like me, he's just picking on me. Well, if he's telling you the truth, then count that a blessing. Count that a real friend. Count that a blessing from God. You know, it's a blessing when you get caught. It's a blessing when you get caught. That's what I've tried to tell my kids. I pray all the time, Lord, my kids are doing something they shouldn't be doing. Please, let me find out about it first. I want to find out about it. I pray that every day. And you know what? Thank God. I don't know it's happened every time, but it's happened a lot of times. The Lord just will allow me, and I'll say, do you know what? God just blessed you again because you got caught. Do you know what a blessing this is? Amen. That God caught you? This isn't a mad God. This is a happy God. This is a gracious God. Amen. This is a wonderful God. Amen. That would reprove me. That's what a reproof is. Amen. A reproof is, hey, look at this. I'm going to prove to you again. Reprove. Look at this. This isn't what you should be doing. That's a reproof from God.
Amen.
And I'm glad God does that. God's caught me sometimes.
Amen.
And I'm glad for that. And you know what? A wise man. A man who is wise. What he will do is he'll receive a reproof.
Amen.
He'll receive a reproof.
Amen.
It won't make the hair on the back of his head stand up, and he won't stiffen up against it. You know what? It'll humble him, it'll soften him, and he'll thank God for it. But a man that refuseth reproof errs. Erreth. That is a good way to go astray, is that when God points out the error of your way, then take heed and repent. And thank God for it. And then just get it cleaned up. I'm glad we don't have to grovel and beg and ask God, you know. We don't have to prove to God how serious we are with crocodile tears and everything. He sees our heart.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad I just have to ask. Lord, I screwed up. I'm so sorry.
Amen.
But He's a loving God. And He reproves us so that we just get back on the right track.
Amen.
Get right back on track again. That's the way He is to us.
Because
he knows if we get on this path over here, he sees where it's going to take us. Maybe we don't see the end of it. We don't see it where it's going to end. And we can't see tomorrow. We can't see the future. But God already knows that path, that error is going to end up. We're going to lose his blessings. It's going to cost us something in the long run. And the Lord doesn't want us to pay that price. One last verse, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 10. Proverbs 15 and verse 10. correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. Now, that guy didn't go astray because he was ignorant. He didn't go astray because of his fleshly tendency to wander. He went astray because he deliberately forsook the right way. Forsook it. That means you knew what it was. You made a choice that that's not the way I want to live. That's not the way I'm going to live my life. If that's what God expects of me, that's too much for him to ask. I don't intend to do that. And you forsake his word and his way. And then correction becomes grievous to you. To be turned back to the right way. You ever seen someone who wanted to go their own way and you tried to correct it? Maybe your own kids sometimes. And they fight against you. They twist against you. You know, they're going to fight you. They don't want to go that way. Police officers probably have to deal with that. You are going to get into this police car. And they don't want to get it, you know. Correction is grievous. They don't want to be corrected. And you know what? We're just as bad sometimes. We don't want to be corrected. We don't want God to lay hold of us and stop us from the way we were going and put us on the right path again. Because we were looking forward to what that path held for us. And man, we had some plans made. And God in his mercy may reprove you and correct you and put you back on the right path. But I hope you're not one that to whom correction is grievous. Correction shouldn't be grievous. You ought to read Hebrews. We don't have time tonight, but read Hebrews chapter 12 if you want to. And you'll see that to be corrected by God and to be chastened by the Lord should be considered a blessing to you, and it's not grievous. But correction is grievous. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall what? Shall die. He that hateth reproof shall die. So, let's not go astray. Next, I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks, so some of the men are going to be filling in on Wednesday nights. But when I get back, we're going to go down through those four errors, the four big ones. And by the way, I saw this today. I don't know if this lines up exactly, but the first one, I guess, would be the error of sound doctrine. We men go astray there. Then it's sex. Then it's success. Then it's science. Right? And I was thinking how that verse in 1 John chapter 2, where it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." But how does that verse go? "But all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh." There's the sex. "The lust of the eyes," there's the success. "The pride of life," there's the pseudoscience, you know, the scientific community and all that stuff. It sort of lines up there. I don't know if there's anything to that, but it's kind of neat. But we'll examine that later. But if God spoke to your heart about anything tonight, maybe tonight somebody here has already gone astray. Maybe somebody here is off the right path. Maybe you're in error tonight. And it might be because of ignorance. It might be because of just the infirmity of your own flesh. Maybe you've been listening to the wrong kind of things, the wrong kind of instruction. Maybe getting counsel from friends or relatives or from the world. Or maybe it's just deliberate and willful and intentional. But whatever it is, if you don't get back on the right way, you're going to lose God's blessing and God's favor in your life. Even in this dispensation, a man can be condemned. Not condemned to hell, but you can suffer condemnation as a Christian in this life. That means lose your joy, lose your health, lose everything. The Lord judges his people, even in this dispensation. And God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that will he also reap. You sow to your flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. God will not be mocked. So if you sense you're on the wrong path, if you're going the wrong way in anything, then I just suggest, even if it was out of ignorance, get back to the Lord and get it right with God tonight. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord.